Thank you for your warm welcome this evening on a cold night. It's lovely to be here. And thank you for allowing me to suggest some changes to your usual process tonight. I was originally asked by Samara and Nathan if I could take you for a workshop next weekend on discernment, because that's an issue that your congregation want to work through together, how to do congregational discernment together about some important issues. And I said in my response to Samara that I used to run 12-week workshops on discernment. A one-day workshop, I didn't like an afternoon. I wasn't sure how that was going to work. And so, you know, of course I suggested a sermon instead. Let's see what we can pack into that. And I thought the opportunity to have some silence to reflect on what I bring to you, and then if you have any questions or comments, that we could just hear those together, perhaps as an introduction to the work that you're going to continue next weekend. So that's the process for tonight. So I start with, how do I discern God's voice? This is an important question, one that's been debated by the church for as long as there has been church. Before the church was established, throughout the stories of Scripture, we have people seeking to know how God was speaking, what God was saying. Sometimes it was clear. God spoke and there was no doubt. But that is the exception, not the rule. We are shown that these cases are remarkable, not everyday. People throughout history have always struggled knowing what to do when they want to follow God's will. So throughout the millennia, the church has demonstrated a variety of ways in which they say God speaks. Various structures have been set up to support or enforce this. Some of these are hierarchical, and have a man, usually a man, telling everyone else what God is saying. So in some circles that might be the Pope or the Archbishop of Canterbury, or in the Salvation Army it's a general who can be a woman. It makes life simple when all you have to do is obey instructions from the one at the top. If you know anything about these sorts of structures, though, the authority of the one at the top as the sole mouthpiece of God is quietly challenged on many levels. But we Baptists are much more clever, aren't we? We don't believe that one person can speak on behalf of God and we all have to listen. We believe we can all hear God and we can all speak what God tells us. As a consequence, the meetings at which we make decisions about what we do can get pretty noisy. Discernment is a difficult task when the voices don't agree, and they rarely do. What might surprise you is that Baptist theology does not promote democracy. We don't believe God's will is necessarily expressed by the majority vote, though you wouldn't know it to look at many Baptist church meetings. We believe God speaks not through just one person, nor through the majority, but through the combined voices of all. No one person holds the whole truth. The truth is held collectively in the community of the church, the body of Christ. So we need to listen to all voices and seek the truth, the word that is God's word for us here in this place at this time. We believe that it's somewhere there in the mix and the mess of our varied and differing responses. We just have to listen and it all becomes clear, doesn't it? Well, if only it were that simple. Working out what God might say is technically known as discernment. Discernment is not a simple task. It's a skill that needs work if you want to develop it, whether as a community or as individuals. And I'm going to talk tonight about discernment as individuals because that's the place where it really needs to start. You can't discern God's word to you as a community if you aren't working to hear God's word for you as in your lives as individuals. If you don't recognise God in your own life, how will you recognise it when God speaks in your community? And next weekend, as I said, you've got this opportunity together to look at discernment as a whole congregation. So a few years ago, I wrote a short piece on discernment, and I'd like to share with you some of the things I've learnt over the years. And now you can hit the button. Discernment is at the heart of relationship with God. We have to choose to be in relationship. We have to decide we want to want what God wants in us, in our world, in our communities. We have to decide that we want what God wants in us, in our world, and in our communities. Discernment begins with our commitment to God. It begins in relationship. And because we are in relationship, we want to do what will help that relationship grow. We want to be in step with God. And discernment helps us to recognise the signs of when we are in step and when we're out of step. Discernment is the process of discovering God within our life. Learning how God speaks to each of us is the work of our lifetime. We have to want to learn it, and we have to practice it. We are people who believe God has been at work in our lives, and we can grow in awareness of this by paying attention to the patterns of God in our lives. You can start by looking at your past, at your history, and the choices that you've made. Some of those choices have clearly been good and godly choices, leading to good fruits. They bring more of God's life and love into the world. And some of those choices have not been good. They've taken you away from the fullness of God's love and life for a time. Looking prayerfully at the decisions we've made and what we were responding to or listening to is very helpful. Over time, we can begin to recognise the patterns in our lives, what builds us in love, in relationship with God and others, and what diminishes or sabotages that within ourselves. In particular, I want to say there's a lot that can be learnt from looking at what we might call our mistakes. And reflecting on them in this way, they can actually become moments of insight and growth into relationship with God. Relationships, all relationships, are strengthened when mistakes are acknowledged and the truth is found. Discernment is recognising God at work in the ordinary and the everyday. Every day you face a multitude of choices, and every choice brings a greater or a lesser measure of love and grace into the world. The way you answer an annoying person will either escalate or calm a situation. Your choice. Whether you slow down in traffic and let someone merge in front of you or speed up to maintain your position, your choice. The impact of these choices flows out to others. The impact is also cumulative within us. It builds or takes down God's life within us. We have a choice, and choosing the actions in our daily life that lead to a greater measure of life and love in the world will strengthen us in our capacity to recognise that God at work through these choices. Peter Kreft says, "Our ordinary daily experience of doing God's will reveal God. God becomes clearer to see when the eye of the heart is purified. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Discernment is seeking to understand God's ways of revealing God's self. We are each unique, and God has a unique relationship with each of us and unique ways of communicating with each of us. We may each say that we experience God's love, but I don't know exactly what that feels like for you in your life, and you won't know what it feels like for me. We can recognise sometimes when it's happening in another, like when the strings on an instrument will vibrate in response to a particular chord, the pattern of God's action is recognisable. But God has a unique way of being with each of us. And discernment is learning more of how to read this in our own lives. So your job is to recognise this in your inner dynamics, in your thinkings, your emotions, and your body too. We are invited to learn the language of God's love in us. And like any human love, we have to take time to learn about the other, to learn to recognise their responses to us and to be attentive to them to help our love grow. I can say discernment is not about moral choices between right or wrong. God never asks us to choose evil. This is not God's will. God does not ask us to commit adultery, to steal, or to gossip. Don't call that discernment if you're making those decisions. So discernment is choosing between two good options, seeking the one which will bring the greater good, the greater glory of God. The question is, which of these possibilities before me will bring more of God's life and love into the world? The question is simple. The answer often takes some work. The choice to be a policeman or a teacher or a pastor, they're all good choices, but the fit will be personal, depending upon my particular personality and gifts, both given by God. Discernment is always concrete, grounded in the here and now of my life and the possible options that are before me. I cannot discern anything that is not within my power to enact. I've got to be able to do it. I cannot discern whether any of you should marry Fred or Frieda. It isn't up to me to make it happen. I can't even decide whether, in my case, I might marry Fred. All I can discern is whether or not I feel called to offer myself to Fred. It's up to Fred to make his own discernment about whether or not he feels called to engage with me in marriage. No Fred in my life, it's okay. Discernment is a collaborative process whereby I work together with God to be able to find that option which responds most fully to God's call to me to be free. God wants us to grow toward a greater measure of life and love and freedom. Jesus came so that we might have life in all its fullness. Sometimes it's painful as we grow through our vulnerabilities and woundedness and sin. But facing the truth of these brings freedom and life. Discernment shows me that to be authentically myself and to be the person God wants me to be are one and the same. God did not create me to be other than who I really am. I may not be in touch with the truth of who I am if I'm seeking to live out of a false self, a self that depends on anything other than God to ultimately give me meaning and purpose. Discernment is discovering that God's will is not set over and against my autonomy and my desires. I have been created with desires that may or may not be in tune with God's life and love. God does not force us to choose God's ways. I have freedom of choice always, But the only desire that will ultimately be satisfied is the desire to be in tune with God's desires for me. And so discernment is revealed in my deepest feelings and context. When I begin to look at my desires, I can recognise there are many layers to these. At the core of them, though, at the very core, is a desire to be loved. And there is only one real source of love, God. So when I can trust the core of myself to this love, I can discover that the things I most delight are actually God's delight in me too. I can trust those feelings. They are signs of God's life in me. Discernment is an ongoing process, not a finished action. We never get to the end. We are always in the midst of discovering more about God and about relationship with God. The act of living is an ongoing process and will always be in the midst of discerning. Discernment is no guarantee of freedom from illusion and uncertainty, since we can never fully know God's will or purpose. We can't know for certain. There's no guarantee we're not just deluding ourselves or imposing our will upon the situation, or maybe just not able to read the signs right. The decisions we make are nearly always on the basis of insufficient information. Discernment is not particularly a detailed plan for our lives. Many people think that God has a plan for your life, like a roadmap you need to follow and make sure you don't take the wrong turn or the whole plot's lost. But what if we think more of God's will for us as a landscape of possibilities? There will be many ways through this landscape towards the horizon that beckons us on. God works with us in our choices. Discernment is a journey into freedom, into life, into relationship, and into love. Discernment is a journey of discovery of self and God. Discernment is coming to see how and where God calls us to action. And discernment is ultimately a language of revelation. Speak the voice of God in me. Speak, for your servant is listening. So back to the question I began with. How do I discern God's voice? Listen to your heart. We can sense the movement of God in surprising and subtle ways when we learn to tune in to what is happening in our emotions. Use your head. You have the capacity to think and evaluate and consider. Don't just let emotions run. Consider, weigh up, evaluate. God gave you this capacity for a reason. Listen to the wisdom of others. God can use other people to say things to us, but we have to discern whether what they say calls for action by us. Only we will know that. And take time. Time to pray and listen to God in that place, to listen to God in the patterns of your life. Take time to read the scriptures and become familiar with how God has spoken to others through its pages. God's word is always God's word.